Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
If you will have your copy of Scripture, we're going to begin in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 today. Notably, that is not, say, Hebrews. Yeah, we concluded that last week, but today we're going to begin in John 5. This is one of my favorite stories in John's gospel, and we'll unpack that here in just a little bit. But John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number," don't miss that, "a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk.' And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked." If you are familiar with the Chosen series, or if you're not, this clip is coming out of that series, and it beautifully portrays this scripture in life. Let's watch.
Shalom.
Me?
Yes.
Shalom.
I have a question for you.
For me? I don't have many answers, but I'm listening.
Do you want to be healed?
Who are you?
We'll get to that later. But my question remains.
Will you take me to the water? Look, I'm having a really bad day.
You've been having a bad day for a long time. So?
Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's stirred up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. And so...
Look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you or who's not helping. Or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I've tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing, and you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.
Within that story, have you ever noticed Jesus' focus on one person? If you think about it, the teaching text says there were a great number gathered around the pool. But we have no record of Jesus engaging with any of the other people here, performing other miracles, or even teaching any other lessons. We do see Jesus preaching to crowds and multiplying food to feed thousands. We see that in his story. But this encounter was one-on-one. And it changed everything for this man. It changed everything. Have you ever had your day interrupted because something was lost? Now, without looking at your neighbor or any fierce elbows, how many of you have had your day interrupted by a lost set of car keys? Yeah, that puts a halt on progress quick, doesn't it? What about a misplaced cell phone? Oh, honey, can you call my phone so I can see if I can hear it ringing? I've literally never done that today. Lost items tend to capture our attention, don't they? This past winter, we couldn't remember the date, my wife and I, we had our normal morning routine interrupted by one lost item. Not just any lost item, this happened to be a lost dog named Cooper, who belongs to our circus. Now, we have more pets than people in our home. I have a picture. We have two dogs and two cats, and I use the term circus intentionally. Well, that morning, Cooper's the little white dog on the left, also referred to as her dog. Cooper, that morning, when we go out, like we have a normal routine, we leave the gate open at the bottom of the steps. We go out, we'll start the car, put the first round of stuff in, and let it warm up. We come back inside. This is nothing unusual. The dogs will mill around in the yard. They do what dogs do, and they come back in. They know where the heat's on, right? They're going to be back. Well, this particular day, when we went back outside, Cooper, the little white dog, decided it was time to go exploring. He went exploring. So we call and holler and whistle and do all the things, and then we soon come to realize that he is, in fact, lost. Now, I'm no mathematician, but a quick calculation in my head said that we still had 75% of the animals we were in charge of. 75%, like that's winning every day in my book. Everyone in our home still has their own pet. We're fine. But you can imagine that calculation didn't stop the search, did it? No. We start wandering through the woods, doing everything we can do to try to call for this lost dog like a bunch of lunatics. What you see happen is that in an instant, all of our normal routine was put on hold for one lost member of the family. You see, when something important is lost, something of value, it tends to capture our focus. It captures our attention. And friends, that's the truth that we see played out and lived out in our teaching text of John chapter 5. One lost and broken man was enough to change Jesus' plans for that day. And this wasn't an isolated incident. This wasn't a one-off thing in the life of Jesus. We see this many times throughout the Gospels, a one-at-a-time approach. In John chapter 4, if you would rewind in John's Gospel a little bit, we see that Jesus says that I have to go through Samaria. Well, that's technically not true because Google Earth will show you umpteen different ways around Samaria. But what we see is that Jesus had to go through Samaria for one woman at a well. And it changed everything for her story. In Luke 8, if we skip to Luke's gospel, the crowds are pressing in on Jesus so much that the scriptures say they're about to crush him. Introverts, we start to get the heebie-jeebies, right? But the crowds are pressing in on Jesus so much that they are about to crush him. But in the midst of that mob, he stops it all and says, "Who touched me?" What? Like, what an odd question. And his disciples kind of shrug it off or laugh at him. Go, "Jesus, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you." And he says, "No, someone touched me. And it was a woman who touched him in faith and received healing." Time and time again, we see Jesus take on a missional strategy of one at a time to grow his kingdom. So let me ask you a question. What would it look like for you and I to take on Jesus's one at a time approach? What would that look like? And I'm not talking about lost keys or a lost wallet or even a wandering dog. What would it look like for you to take a one-at-a-time approach to someone in your life who doesn't know Jesus? To interrupt your days, to change your plans, to set your mind on reaching out to just one person. Just one. This one-on-one approach changed everything for the man by the pool. And friends, it could change everything for someone you know. Will you be for one? Will you be for one? I want to welcome you to our new teaching series simply called For One. For One. Throughout this series, we're going to seek to know and to understand the power of the Lord's one-at-a-time pursuit of people. And our goal is not just that we would come to know the stories, but that we would adopt Jesus' style and his approach for our lives. You see, often our focus is on the many. We pray for our nation and our community, our family, our coworkers, and to be sure, this is a good thing. But for all of our focus on the many, we can sometimes lose the one. The goal of this series is that we will seek the Lord together and asking him to give us just one person that we can pray for, and not just that we would pray for them, but that we would literally interrupt our lives to be in relationship with them. To share the good news of Jesus with them. And this is not adopting someone as a spiritual project. That's not what this is. This is about living out the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. One at a time. One at a time. We want to be for one. Because in the kingdom of God, one is worth it all. One's worth it all. If you have your copy of Scripture open, flip over with me to Luke chapter 15. We're going to begin this series kind of introducing the idea of God's heart for one. In Luke chapter 15 specifically, Jesus is telling a set of three parables. We're going to look at one. I know our lunch is waiting, so we're going to look at one, not three. But we're going to look at one parable today that illustrates God's heart for the one, and it's the story of one lost sheep. So we're going to begin at Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. We're going to read and unpack as we go through the story together. So Luke chapter 1 says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" As chapter 15 opens in Luke's writing, there is a growing theme of confrontation, and it is appearing here in the forefront in this dialogue. As more and more of those people, if you will, are coming to Jesus, the local religious leaders begin to voice their disapproval. What begins to take shape is that they don't think that a prophet, a teacher, a leader like Jesus should be associating with company of notorious sinners. Now, no doubt, Jesus is by this time attracting a rather interesting group of people. Tax collectors, as it's written here, were traitors of their own nation. In league with the Roman Empire, they are getting filthy rich by taxing their fellow Jews and countrymen. Not hard to see why they're questioned in this list. The idea of sinners is a very generic term that would have been used to cover all kinds of people who are living a notoriously sinful life, swindlers and prostitutes and thieves, you name it. So there's an all-encompassing list they don't think should be coming to Jesus, but they are. These people are those who are coming to Jesus to share meals with him, to hear his teaching. What we see is that God's prevenient grace was at work drawing people in, and that was upsetting some folks. You see, the religious leaders thought that he should keep his distance, that he shouldn't be associating, he shouldn't be building relationship with these people. And what becomes clear is that they don't share the Father's heart for the lost. Let's continue in our story. Verse 3, Jesus told them this parable. He says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' For one. Rather than a direct rebuke for their self-righteous ways and murmurings, Jesus tells a story to illustrate his heart and the heart of God the Father for just one. The story begins with a man who owns 100 sheep, and this would have been a very casual and easily accessible story, a launching point, if you will, for Jesus to make his point. And so one of these sheep wanders away, getting lost and separated from the rest of the flock. Now, from a practical standpoint, this is not a big deal. 1%, right? 99 are still doing just fine. But one lost sheep causes the man to take action. And what the only thing that can explain this reckless accounting is that the man loves his sheep. You see, this wasn't just a business venture or a side hobby in this story. The man loves his sheep, and when one went missing, it mattered. It mattered. We aren't told in this parable. We would like to ask Jesus more questions, wouldn't we? We aren't told in this story what the search involves, but note, it does say how long it takes. Don't miss that key word. It says, the man looked until it was found. This wasn't a casual whistling around the neighborhood. This wasn't a quick trip over the ridge. This was a determined and careful search until the sheep was found. Until. And when this man finally comes across his sheep, he finds the one lost sheep. He kicks the sheep for being stupid and rubs his nose in the ground to teach it a lesson. No. The shepherd takes the wandering sheep, the one who had run away, he takes it upon his shoulders and carries it back to the flock. And when he arrives back home, he is in such joy of finding in his sheep that he calls his neighbors to help him celebrate the redemption of one lost sheep. He cannot contain his joy that one lost sheep has been found, rescued from certain death. The man literally throws a party. What we see illustrated in this story is from a logical standpoint, if you will, it's a completely disproportionate concern for one sheep. This one lost sheep receives the undivided attention and the effort of the shepherd until it's found. While this makes quite a compelling and heartwarming agriculture story for Fair Week, this is really Jesus trying to make a point. He says in verse 7, I tell you that in the same way there was rejoicing, in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Rejoicing for one. You see, the tax collectors and the sinners that the religious folks were looking down on, who they were murmuring about, they were God's lost sheep. Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, was literally giving his life to go after them. The search, his prevenient grace goes until. And to the shock and the surprise of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, there was more rejoicing in heaven over one of those lost sheep coming home than the 99 who didn't need to repent. Rejoicing for one. Friends, what we see in this story is the Father's heart for the lost. That God sees every lost sheep and his heart is to see them found. He knows their names. He knows their story. He knows their pain and brokenness. God knows his sheep. They are his. They are created in his image and he wants to see them found. For one. Yes, to find new life in Christ, to turn away from those lost sheep kind of ways, and to rejoin the flock, the family of God. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take a journey through several different stories in the Gospels to see God's heart, to see Jesus go after the one. We're going to study the story of the demon-possessed man in the Gerasenes in Luke 8. And we're going to study the story of a woman in a crowd reaching out to touch the hem of his garment, just one. And we're even going to dive into the story of a one-on-one encounter with a religious fanatic named Nicodemus at night. Throughout Jesus' life, we see him pursuing one person at a time. He would change his plans. He would allow interruptions. He would go where others wish he wouldn't. All for one. All for one. Back in that winter morning when we were looking for one lost dog, we weren't doing as good as the shepherd in the story. We had lost 25% of our flock, so I guess we had to do something. I was supposed to be going to work. My wife had planned to drop our daughter off at school and then run errands across town, but all of that changed for one. She went ahead and ran Eliza to town, and I stayed and kept up the search. I texted our neighbors who live behind us. I said, hey, we're looking for a lost dog. Do you mind if I come back and look around your house? No, been there. Sorry, help yourself. So I walked back behind our house, and I'm walking around someone else's house, I'm pretty sure before 8 o'clock in the morning. But no luck. We're calling and whistling, doing all the things you do to try to find a lost dog. By this time, I get back and my wife returns, and there's really one more place that we haven't checked, and that's our neighbors through the woods. There's another house off to the side, and this house happens to be a vacation rental. And so we were hesitant to just walk through the woods. We didn't want some poor folks from the city to think they were in an episode of Mountain Men or something. So we decided it would be best to like drive over and come in the driveway like we might belong. And as my wife is pulling in the driveway, the family staying in that home this week is walking out the driveway with their dog. And as rolls down the window, they said, "Hi, are you must be looking for a little white dog or something like that." "Well, yes. Yes, we are. Have you seen him?" "Oh, yeah. We sure did. He came over to see us a little while ago. We could tell he was used to people. He's so happy to see us. So we just brought him on inside, gave him a treat. He's been hanging out with us. We were just coming out the driveway to see if we could start talking to the neighbors." Oh, the one lost dog had been found. With great joy and a major sigh of relief, she puts him in the car and drives him back home. My first question, of course, is you kicked him right in the butt. You spanked him and rubbed his nose in the ground for running away, right? Nope. We just hugged him and put him in the car and brought him back home. In the same way, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who do not need to repent. You see, that day, Cooper received much more rejoicing and much more attention than the other three animals who had stayed home. But when the lost are found, celebrating is just what you do. It's what God does. So how about you? Are you ready today to join Jesus in his heart for one? As the band makes their way forward, those that are able, I'll just invite you to stand. This morning, I'm going to invite every person here to respond in some way. We have created these little cards. These are going to come into play over the next couple weeks. These cards are simply the sermon graphic. They say 4-1, and the back is blank. And in a moment, I'm going to invite everyone to come and take one. But just hang tight with me, because today, I think there's two ways that we can respond today. To the first person, the first way I want to respond using one of these cards. This is a special day in the life of our campus. We combine services. I think we've only done that just a handful of times in all the years we've been open. It's a special day. We're going to celebrate later. But what that tells me is that you didn't show up here today by accident. And you're like, "Preacher, I know." Like, well, let's talk about that. You're not here by accident. And so what I believe with all of my heart is that today, God has made sure you could hear a message about his heart for the lost sheep. To hear today that no matter how far you have strayed, to hear that no matter how lost you feel, that God sees you and he knows your name. He knows your name. He's come after you today with an invitation to return home with him. To re-enter, to maybe enter for the first time relationship with him. You can leave here today on the shoulders of God the Father because he sees the one lost sheep. And so if that's you today, I don't know your story, but God does. I would just invite you today to come home, to come home, to turn away from living for yourself, turn away from wandering, and come back to him. Seek him, ask for his forgiveness, ask to be brought into his family, into his flock. And for friend, if that's you today, here in a moment when we respond, I would just invite you to take this card and write, "I am found," on the back of it. And write your name. And if you would just hand that to me or Pastor Terry, we want to join in the celebration. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to celebrate that the one has been found. So if that's you today, don't miss this opportunity of God's grace. The other way I want us to respond today is that I would invite each and every one of you to take one of these cards home and begin to pray over this card and this idea, who is the one person in my life, Lord, that you are calling me to reach out to? Who is my one? And look, I said in the beginning, this is not us taking up someone as a spiritual project that we're just going to start beating them over the head with it. No, 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 no. If that's what you're thinking, please wait another week. This is about building an intentional relationship, about forming our lives around to spend time in the presence of just one person who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And what happens as we begin to build a relationship and form life together and do life together is questions get asked, stories get shared, opportunities arise where we can share about how the shepherd rescued us when we were lost. And so today I want you to take a card with you. Maybe you already know, maybe God's given you that one. There are Sharpies on the tables because pens won't write on these full things. But if you just write that person's name down and start praying, start that journey. Over the next couple weeks, we're gonna keep coming back to this idea. And so as the band plays in just a moment, no matter how you're responding today, if you're the one, or if you're going to begin praying today for God to give you the one, I would invite you to come in just a moment. So would you bow your heads with me as we pray together? Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for this day. Father, the chance we have to come together as your body and worship you. Lord, we thank you for your word and the story of Jesus about one lost sheep and a reckless love that goes after it. Lord, today I pray for that one that feels that lost feeling of being dismayed or disoriented, confused and worried. God, I pray they hear your voice and say, "Here I am. I want to go home." Lord, you call us in life to turn away from living our way, to seeking forgiveness with you, to living a new life. But Lord, it begins when we're found and your spirit comes within us. So Lord, we want to be your found sheep today. And Father, as we see and commit to studying your one-at-a-time approach in the days and weeks ahead, Lord, will you reveal to us one, for such a time as this, Lord, that you have put in our circle of family, of friends, of coworkers, of classmates, whatever it is, Lord, will you reveal to us the one? God, before we would ever make the first phone call, we want your heart for the one. For the one. Lord, we thank you today. Speak today. Your word says, "My sheep know my voice." So we're listening.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.